Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here tonight. It's a joy to see couples taking time to do an evening like this together. I've been thinking and in preparing, you know, we think about time here. I thought the songs that were sung tonight were so fitting with the theme of the evening. I want to love Him more. How do we do that? It takes time, doesn't it? It takes time in the Word. It takes time to meditate. It takes time to spend time with God. Recently, I've been thinking about, before we were talking about preparing for this, I was thinking about time, and you know, some of the brethren in our church are getting a little older. They're up there about 80 years old, and I was thinking, you know what? 20 years from now, I'm going to be in those shoes if the Lord gives me time. The last 20 years have gone very fast. What am I doing with time? Goes very fast. As I think about time, it just seems like the older you get, the faster it goes. And I know people used to say that, and I don't know why it is that way, but I can testify that for you younger ones that are getting older, you better start pulling back on the reins because it speeds up. It seems like it speeds up somehow. I don't know if it's because we're grandpas or what, but it seems to speed up. I know when we had little children, it seemed like they'd never grow old. They'd never grow up. You know, you're always changing diapers. You're always getting up at night to take care of their cares and their worries and their hurts and their pains. And you're just waiting for the day till they grow up, till you wouldn't have to get up quite as often at night. And then all of a sudden you get to the next stage where the children are now, you know, they're old enough to kind of get dressed and all those good things, and time has moved on a little bit, and then all of a sudden you want to stop time again because family life is just at a real nice point, but you can't. I know the struggle that I went through. I just wanted to stop time. Turn that hourglass on its side, you know. Just stop it for a while. We enjoy the family. They're just having wonderful time together. But time keeps going. And so I've concluded that, you know, the only basic thing that I can do is prioritize. I can't stop it. Somehow we have to prioritize. And it seems like there's things in life that take time. There's things in life that are going to, it's like the scripture or the parable of the sower. Farmers are getting ready to, you know, they're planning for the field and they're planning to plant. And, you know, I think they've got goals in mind. They've got a plan together as to how much fertilizer they're going to put on, how much seed they're going to plant. They've got a plan. And they're preparing. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, sometimes it's not as much It is a matter of sowing the seed. The sower sowed the seed, but you know the important part is that two things. The seed that brought forth fruit was the seed that was sown in the good ground, number one, and then also the seed that brought forth the most fruit, brought forth the hundredfold. Now, if we'd have the choice between planting a lot of seed and getting 30-fold, or if you'd plant one-third the amount of seed and get 100-fold, which one would you do? Why go to the bother of planting 100 acres and getting 30 bushel of corn, or just planting 30 acres and getting 100 bushel of corn, have the same amount of corn? Which would you choose? 30. Okay. Why all the extra work, you know? Why all the extra bother? And what he's saying here, I think what I'm getting from that is the seed that we plant, we want to make sure it gets into good ground and it bears the most. And now we can use that probably in a couple different ways. One thing sometimes I say I wrestle with things, or I ponder things. It seems as time goes on that the more technology I have, and then I think about what my dad used to say. We had a little 160-acre farm, and my dad would say, when we'd go up and down the row, we'd go up and down the field, he'd come by the neighbor, and the neighbor was out working on the other side. Once in a while, they'd stop, and they'd stand by the fence and talk. When's the last time you saw that happening in our society today? The farmers parked the big tractors out in the field, and they got to the fence row, and they just took time to talk. You know, not in our lifetime. And so I'm thinking, what is it? Is it maybe priorities? It's not really how much we have to do, is it? They still had the same amount to get done as we do today. But they intentionally made it a point to just take a little time at the fence row, talk with the neighbor, purposefully, with a goal, with the intention to just take time with the neighbor. And then as I think of that, my mind goes to a scripture. And if you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to Matthew. I was thinking about some of the aspects of that. I've been reading through Matthew in my personal devotions the last while, and I came across this scripture here in Matthew chapter 4. In verse 23, I was pondering the things in Jesus' life, some of the things that Jesus went through when he was here on earth. Now this verse says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." What did Jesus use his time for? for others. You think Jesus ever went to the golf course? Just to, you know, kick away a little time? As I see the life of Christ, I see a one that was concerned about the souls of men. And he was teaching, he was preaching, and that was his mission. But what is our calling? What is our calling? Because we just got done singing a while ago, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We've got but one time through this world, through this earth, to make a difference for Jesus. Now, what are some of the aspects of that? I see the big thing of unselfishness in the life of Christ. You know, when a person does what Jesus did here, I see unselfishness. I see the thing of giving up. You know, we often kind of like to do things with our time. We kind of like to spend some time for ourselves. At least sometimes we do. And I see Christ here pouring out. It means a giving up of rights. You know, that's a kind of a thing that our world is affected with, is rights. I've got the right to this. I've got the right to that. I've got the right to my time. I've got the right for this. Jesus didn't. I don't see that here in Christ's life. And with that, I see, I guess, a attitude. An attitude in the life of Christ that just blesses me. Really stands out to me. I'd like to look at that in Philippians. If you would turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I like to try to put this in shoe leather. Philippians 2, starting in verse 6, he says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What happens when a person takes time, as it were, takes time, gives up his rights, gives up his reputation, and he takes upon himself the form of a servant? It takes a humbling, doesn't it? It takes a humbling. It says, Jesus humbled himself. Nobody took Jesus and humbled him, but he says he chose that path. He humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As I consider that, do I take the time to do what Jesus was doing here? I'm sure we've all read the stories of how Jesus spent the night in prayer, nights in prayer. He spent days giving to people. He spent time after time, we read of that, doing miracles and feeding the 5,000 and just meeting needs of people. And then spending the night in prayer and refueling for the next day. I see the example there of using time, taking time for everyone else but himself. But it also says there that wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So what is God's calling? What is God's calling for your life? This may not be quite as much on the same subject, but I'd just like to ask us tonight, according to John 6, 38 to 40 here, it goes like this. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. God did not create me so that I could pursue my own will, my desires, my passions, my motives. I don't have time for that. God created me with enough time to glorify him, to labor for him, to get done for him what he has for me to do. Now, what are some things that we should take time for? Turn, if you would, to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 11. You know, all of us, have those days when things may not go as well as what we were hoping. Let's read the scripture. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Very, very familiar. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, what does Jesus want me to learn of him tonight? He says, I want you to come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. So what can I learn of Christ tonight? He's meek and lowly in heart, and he says we're going to find rest for our souls. And sometimes we are so busy running here and there, doing this and that. A lot of those things are probably good things. I think all of us here tonight are about doing good things. I think we've all got, goals, Christian motives, desires to do good, and so on. But sometimes I have to ask myself, is it the 20-fold thing that I'm pursuing, or is it the 100-fold thing that I'm pursuing? Jesus says, come to me and learn of me. Learn of me. Now, one of the things I was trying to, I guess, sort through a little bit is you know, when I don't know how you found it. As I look across the group here, some of you, I don't know a lot of your stories, how you, what situations you grew up in, what kind of life story you have. You know, we're here tonight to encourage our marriages and bless our marriages and our relationships. And so, one of the things I think about is, well, what foundation did we lay? Where did we start? Where did we begin? I wasn't too sure where to start and where to stop, but as I think about marriages, I think we're all pretty human, and I thought back when we got married. You know, I don't know about you. I hope you got married to your best friend. I did. Did you all get married to your best friend? Good. And so, let me ask you this: did you have a problem finding time to spend with your best friend when you were dating? Was that a problem? Just couldn't find time for it, huh? How's that?
She went to New York. Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking about that, but I have to wonder, how is it with me right now? I used to look forward to the time when my wife and I were going to have an evening together. And that's why I think this is such a blessing to remind us of that, intentionally taking time to think about that. So what are the things that I looked forward to, or the things that I wanted to do, or the things I wanted to do to build our relationship at that point. Am I still doing that today? And how can I build our relationship today? We go through changing times. We start off first here as young marrieds. And by the way, how many of you have been married less than 5 years? We've got one couple here, two, three, okay. Okay, you've been married how long?
9 months,
okay. Okay, so I guess the others have been married a little longer than that, the way it looks. Okay, so there's change. We start off getting married, and after a while we have children. If the Lord blesses us with children, and things change in our lives, okay? So responsibilities change. We have, as God gives us children, we have an awesome responsibility. Because that precious soul that God gives us is going to spend eternity somewhere. And God entrusts us with that little one to nurture it, to guide it in the way of the Lord. You only have time to do that, but so long. Let's turn to 1 Peter. I'd like to just maybe look at a couple of things here. Like I say, I'm not going to be using the word time necessarily, but the thing that we do with the time. The thing that we do with the time. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3. Talks there about the husband and wife relationship. Very familiar scripture. But sometimes we just need to take time to read these things and see, well, what really does this say? I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. As I was thinking about just some of the things that it talks about here, it talks about the thing of submission. And as I think about some of the things that are going on in this passage here, I'm thinking that it takes time to do this, doesn't it? You know, if you take time to communicate together, as I find it, all of a sudden, my wife becomes more beautiful. She becomes more precious. She becomes more the person I want to spend more time with. And as I see this communication taking place here, I see something beautiful happening. Because I think in every husband and wife, there is that desire that is fulfilled as we spend time together. It kind of goes back to the same thing that I was talking about when we were dating. We wanted to spend time together. I wanted to get to know my wife, who was then my girlfriend. I wanted to get to know her. And not just that, but then as that happens, you know, there's a growing together. It's like a lot of relationships are. When there's distance in relationship, submission is hard. Adapting yourself to another is hard. And that's what this portion is talking about then living in purity, living in modesty, a reverence, and respecting and revering the husband, to honor, to esteem, to appreciate or prize. You know, I don't know. Like I say, I guess I can kind of speak out of freely here, because I don't know a lot of your the inside track of your life. Okay, so one of the things that I think about is you know, when my wife and I were on our wedding trip, we were up in Minnesota and we were in a park, and this older man, he met us, and I guess it looked like we were on our honeymoon or something, because he wondered if we were, and we told him we were, and he said, oh, it's going to wear off, you know, it's going to be humdrum after a while. I forget how well I said, but anyway. And so I never forgot that challenge to keep dating my wife. Are you still dating your wife, brother? Are you still dating your wife? Okay. So what did you do when you were dating your wife? How's that? Okay. So, brethren, I'm going to give you a suggestion for tonight. Maybe you already do this. I don't know. It's very possible that most of you do. Maybe all of you do. But when you go out to the car tonight or out to the van, sisters, just go to your door and just stand there. If he doesn't open the door for you, just stand there. And if he gets in the car and drives off, well, wait till he comes back. And then let him open the door for you. Isn't that what you did when you were dating your wife?
My car didn't have a door.
Your car didn't? Okay. I thought that might come up. That's good. That's good. But how's that? You held the horse. Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. I like that. Did you tuck her in with the blanket? Okay. Good, good. You know, I had to think of the saying that Jesus said, even a cup of cold water in my name. You know, and the verse goes on. In the end of verse 7, it says this. I don't know if we caught it or not. It says, let me just read verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. That what? Who can finish it? That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. I think all of us want our prayers to go to heaven, don't we? We want our prayers to go to heaven. We want our prayers to reach the Lord. And I think he's bringing out how beautiful this relationship is, how in some ways how fragile it is, but how beautiful it is, how God looks at it, and he says that if we're separate on this thing, if we're not together, our prayers are going to be hindered. He says, give honor. And so, maybe just a little further thought on that. So young men, as we think back of having opened the car door or held the reins or however we did for our wife, pretty soon we come along and mama now has a little baby. She's got the diaper bag. She's trying to get out of the car. And you get out of your side and you're off to get to church. You know, you got your Bible and you're off to get the door open. And here she's trying to get the baby and the diaper bag and her Bible. And she's trying to get out of the car with opening the door. Help her. Help her. Just keep right on opening the door for her. Just keep on doing that. And sisters, I encourage you. I heard one brother say one time that after a meeting like this, they went home. His wife and him went home, and he got out of the car and went in the house. She just stayed sitting in the car. And after a while, he came back out. There she was still waiting in the car. So he went over and opened the door for her. He got the hint. So. Maybe doing it in a nice way, but you know we can do it in fun, but we can still learn. We can still learn. But let's keep dating our wives, man. Let's keep dating our wives. Do special things for each other and together. Now, let's look at that inward adorning just a little bit. Brethren, I think it's important for us to adorn our wives or it's talking about the sisters. It seems like they have a desire to adorn the outside. Is that what I'm seeing here in verse 3 and 4 and 5? It seems like the sisters want to adorn the outside. But it's talking here about the brethren, or if we brethren, maybe what our responsibility is here is to adorn the qualities of their heart, adorn their inward the things that we appreciate about them, as it were, their submission, their purity, their godly character, as they exemplify Jesus. You know, if she's an encourager, or if she's ministering to the children, you come home and at the end of the day and she's been working all day and she's been taking care of the children, and you know the family's happy, and she needs to be recognized for that. Give her encouragement. Bless her for it. You know, let her know how much you appreciate what she's doing. I think, brethren, sometimes if we can bless and we can meet their needs and we can not butter them up, but encourage them and bless them and remember what they do. Make the inward beautiful. And yes, our wives, I think they do want to be recognized if they wear a new dress, if they've got, whatever, the little outward beauties, okay? But if we focus on that, I think we'll take their attention the wrong way. But if we focus on the inward, on the inner man, the part that really makes them beautiful as they spend time with God, and the things that they do in our homes, if we focus on that beauty, that inner beauty, it will help them in the right way. I'm just simple enough to believe here that what he's talking about in this scripture is that the sisters desire a little bit of, that's probably where they struggle in the outward beauty part, for that desire. Men have some other desires, and I think maybe sisters have those desires, according to what it's saying there. It also talks about the pious women. It talks about the inward beauty. It talks about how Sarah and Abraham's relationship was, and how she called him Lord, how she called him master, leader, and so on. And brethren, so maybe the time that you spend from going from the job to home is a good time to ponder your wife. Live considerately. Live with her desires in mind. Ponder her needs. Ponder her stresses. Think about your wife and what she's been going through during the day at home. The responsibilities that she's been taking care of while you're gone. Ponder how to give her a break. By the way, brethren, this is what, Friday night? No, this is Saturday night. All right. How many of you drink coffee in the morning? A few of you? Okay. How many of your wives like coffee? Okay. I'll give you a little secret here. Tomorrow morning, you set your alarm for about 10 minutes earlier, go down the stairs, make a cup of coffee, and take it up and set it on the headboard of the bed or whatever. Just bring her a cup of coffee while she's still in bed. See what she says. We have this little thing that Friday or Saturday and Sunday morning, I go down and make a little coffee and bring it up. And that's how I wake up my wife. And she appreciates that. I'm just passing on a little secret here. Let me ask you this. This talks about here about being joint heirs together and praying effectively. I don't even know if it's necessary to mention this, but you know, sometimes in our growing relationship, we find sweeter names to call our wife, and you know, it says here Abraham or Sarah called him Lord, and you know, sometimes when I call my wife, she will say, well, she'll call me that. I didn't tell her to call me that. She just does. And I, you know, I call her the queen, you know. Why not? Isn't your wife the queen of the house? You know, call her that. Call her that. Best, you know. And just continue to build her up. One of the things that we used to do together is go out to eat, and I know that's a little more difficult sometimes. And I would say it this way, that brethren, you don't have to go out to town to eat necessarily. Sometimes just telling your wife that you'll do the grilling tonight, or you'll do the cooking tonight, or you'll do the, you know, get the children involved and just give mama a little break means a lot to your wife. Now I'm not a great cook. I don't know. I hope some of you like cooking better than I do, or you're a better cook than I am. Otherwise she may not appreciate that too much. But I guess if you can't do better than I can, you might want to take them out to a restaurant. But anyway, those are things I think that can be a blessing. However the Lord leads you in that, however you want to do that, I think it's good to give our wives a little break once in a while. Taking time to do that. Maybe one of you or somebody of you has a little word of testimony or something you'd just like to share, something that the Lord has done in your marriage, or something that the Lord has done in your relationship, or something that has been a breakthrough in your relationship here. I'm just gonna give a little time for that here if anybody wants to share anything. And don't think you're tooting your horn if you've got something to share. If you've got something to share that would be a blessing, why, just go ahead. I think I'm going to close with that. Lord bless you. Take time. Take time. We've only got one round, as it were, with our companion, one life to live. And I just want to bless each one as you prioritize. You know, I think it seems like the porch on the houses get used less and less to sit out and just spend a little time together. They used to put them on the house years ago. They had them on the house, and you'd see people sitting on them. And you know, it seems today we've got so much. I don't know. I've just wondered. You know, we've got all the technology we do. We get stuff done so much faster than we used to, and we just have so much less time than what we had, as it were. Why is that? I'm not sure. But let's prioritize. God bless you.